welcome to another edition of Shattering Myths. My name is Larry, and co-hosting today is William. How are you today, William?
I'm doing pretty good, Larry. How are you?
Things are good. Yada is taking his wife on a much-needed vacation, so we'll be setting in and doing the show for Yada today. Hopefully, we'll shatter some myths in regards to big government taking care of us, pledging allegiance to a flag, religion in general. What do you think, William?
Well, I think that's going to be great. I'd just like to encourage all the listeners, especially if you're a first-time listener, just want to encourage you guys to go ahead and pay attention and take some notes and be certain to investigate what we share here today, because if you don't, it'll be all for naught. So make sure you go ahead and do your research.
Well, today I was reading on the internet here how Homeland Security was used to intercept emails to quiz a woman about her sex life. If you can believe this or not.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah. She's a senior lecturer at Indiana University, and she was confronted by the Department of Homeland Security officials after the federal agency obtained copies of her emails and began quizzing her about the details of her sex life.
And the reason for this was what?
Well, apparently, and the ACLU is filing a lawsuit on behalf of Christian Van Der Haar, after she was detained by Customs and Border Patrol at the Indianapolis International Airport during an incident in 2012. She's a sociology professor, and she had traveled to the airport merely to help her friend pick up some computer parts that had been shipped separately. He was a Greek national. His name was Demetrius Papadronipopoulos. I'm just going to call him Mr. P, okay?
Okay.
He had already arrived in the country under a valid business visa, which allowed him to enter and leave the United States for a period of 10 years, okay? And both Von der Haar and Mr. P were detained by DHS officers and bombarded with questions about their private lives, including whether they had shared sexual relations.
Whoa.
With feds alleging that the two secretly conspired so that Mr. P could stay in the country illegally. Now, here's a guy that had a 10-year visa.
Right.
Believe me when I tell you, these visas are not easy to get. And all this is coming out of an administration that is currently telling illegals that cross the border to go get food stamps. I mean, here's a guy that's in the country illegally. To me, this is outrageous. This is just another example of the federal government growing beyond the scope of anything that would be considered reasonable. And I brought something up there that probably sounded a little shocking, that the Obama administration is telling illegals to collect food stamps, and he's also telling them to do it without admitting they're illegal.
Now, why do you suppose that is? I mean, what's the agenda?
I have no idea. I have no idea what the agenda is, but I know as we pay our taxes, this is the kind of thing it's being squandered on. You know, we have a giant military, don't we? I mean, we really do.
Yeah.
And we've got them deployed in over 40 countries at any one time.
Right.
You know, it's very upsetting to me because supposedly that, you know, the shtick is always the same. You know, we're going to be out there and we're going to be bringing democracy with us. Well, first of all, democracy is not freedom. That's called mob rule. We're supposed to have a republic, a federal republic of laws, not a democracy. But let's assume that democracy or mob rule did bring freedom to places. you know, I'd read an article, it wasn't very long ago, about a woman in Afghanistan who, for whatever reason, they decided they were going to give her 200 lashes and then kill her.
Huh. Well,
yeah, and so they did. You know, that over a period of a couple of weeks, they gave her this 200 lashes, because if you took 200 lashes at once, that you'd never make it through the 200 lashes. That would kill you. So they nursed her through the 200 lashes and had her stand around in a cage naked for 2 weeks while they did this to her. Then when they got finished, they took her out back and they shot her in the head. Now, her crime was something offensive to Islam. I forget what it was, but it wasn't really a crime at all. And yet we're supposed to be spreading democracy and freedom over in Afghanistan. Am I right here? I mean, isn't
right.
That...
Yeah, no, yeah, right.
I mean,
right.
We've crushed the Taliban, and, you know, now we're over there spreading freedom and democracy and building schools and advancing women's rights, and this is the kind of thing really going on. So clearly we're not there to advance freedom or human rights. Otherwise, things like that wouldn't be going on. Now, I'll go back to the Spanish language leaflet that the U.S. Department of Agriculture has provided to the Mexican embassy in Washington, D.C., which advises border crossing Mexicans that they can collect taxpayer funded food stamp benefits for their children without admitting they're illegal immigrants. Underlined in boldface type, the document tells immigrants who are unlawfully in the United States that you need not divulge information regarding your immigration status in seeking this benefit for your children. Now, the U.S. DA's Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, it's called SNAP, commonly known as food stamps, is funded in order to prevent hunger by helping poor families maintain a basic level of nutrition for both adults and children. Congress spent $86.5 billion on the SNAP program in 2012, by far the largest single line item in the USDA's $205 billion overall budget.
Okay.
And, you know, the underlying portion of this document reads, you need not divulge information regarding your immigration status in seeking this benefit for your children. Now, I'm going to go back to this lecturer from Indianapolis that has been harangued about her sex life. Here she is. They're picking up computer parts that were shipped separately via airlines, apparently, to Indianapolis Airport. And all she's doing is walking in there with Mr. P from Greece. And they're going in there to get these computer parts, and they get the what for from the Department of Homeland Security.
See, now that kind of throws me for a loop here, because I was reading the other day about a convicted terrorist who worked as an Obamacare navigator in Illinois. So I'm kind of...
I read that article, by the way.
Perplexed, yeah. How does that happen? I mean, here we have a U.S. citizen just trying to make a living, being harassed and questioned, ridiculed about her sex life, and yet we have a convicted terrorist who's actually killed people working, in the Obamacare system undetected. How does that happen?
I don't know. The same way all our military setting over in Afghanistan, advancing rights while the borders are wide open and Mexican nationals are coming across and they're being told to go get food stamps. Now, you know, if I was going to have a standing military, I think I might have it and use it for something useful. You know, as an example, they might guard the borders.
Right.
You know?
Gee, that's a great idea.
Yeah, you know, but yet any time, as far as I know, anyone has honestly tried to guard the borders, they've been called a racist. You know, there were a group called the Minutemen that tried that. And they were called racist. And so I guess the good thing to do is just allow one nation who did a terrible job of taking care of itself. You know, it's, I mean, Mexico, you might as well say, is being ran by the mob, you know, the drug cartels, whatever you want to call them. And so now as they run across the border, and I have, you know, if I were in their position, I might try to get across the border myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I'd run to a government and demand, you know, or require food from them. I think I'd have that part worked out.
Well, here's the thing that confuses me. I mean, where is this money coming from to help these individuals coming over? I mean, I have no problem helping people, but I think we need to help the people here first that, you know, are literally starving. I mean,
well,
have
you
a
really
problem.
Can't do it at the point of a gun. That's what
right.
the IRS does. That's coming from taxpayer money. These aren't. This isn't manna from heaven.
Right,
you know,
right. But
I mean,
but see, the last I checked, we were paying China $1 billion a day in interest. So where does the money come from? I mean, in essence, we're kind of we're somewhat bankrupt ourselves here. So how are we paying for this? Right.
It's
right.
My understanding we're paying $85 billion a month.
Wow.
A month is going
right.
offshore.
I'm sorry, so isn't it a – okay. Wow.
That's what I've read over and over and over again. And, you know, if that's the case, I don't care if it's a billion a day or $85 billion a month. What's happening, in essence, is they're printing money and making our money worth less and less while they do it. Welcome back, William and I. We're just having a discussion about where is the money coming from to create food stamps or to pay for food stamps of the Mexicans that are coming across the board illegally. And, you know, it'd be one thing if they just sort of bumped into it, but this is actually being promoted and advanced by the Obama administration. And that money, of course, is money that's just being printed with nothing to back it up. And the more money that's printed, the less and less our money that we manage to save is worth. Isn't that true? I mean, you got one Mona Lisa, it's worth a lot of money. If you had 400,000 of them, they wouldn't be worth very much, would they?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, this is a serious problem. And I know in my house, if I spend money I don't have, I go bankrupt, so... You know, it's nerve-wracking, Larry, because our kids and probably our grandchildren have to, I guess, pick up the pieces, right?
I don't believe that we'll be around that long. I honestly think that catchphrase, our children and our children's children are going to pay for this, leads people to believe in their mind that they can keep kicking the can down the road. I think the chickens come home to roost way before that. I think it comes within the next 5-10 years. I think we'll see a total financial collapse. I mean, it is a mathematical certainty. It isn't about grandkids anymore, other than the ones you have alive right now that are going to have a miserable life in the not-too-distant future.
Wow.
Because when money, you know, becomes worth nothing, and the trucks stop rolling and the farmer stops producing, where does that leave the rest of us?
Right, and I think what bothers me most is that it's self-inflicted. I mean, all of this is self-inflicted. You know.
Well, it is.
We can definitely fix the problem, but you know, I seen the other day Obama was talking about sending aid over to I believe. I want to say it was Syria, right?
There's a lost cause, but okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, we don't have this money. And I don't know what else to say about it, Larry. I mean, we need else, and that's just the bottom line.
Well, if you were going to have a military, you know, there were two things that Thomas Jefferson warned about. He warned about two things that would really take the freedom away from the American people. And one is a central banking system, which is, you know, that's what the Federal Reserve System is.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was a standing army. And, of course, you know, the fifth plank in the Communist Manifesto is a central banking system. You know, so, you know, if once you control all the money, you control all the assets, you control all the labor. When you print it, you know, you can pretty much buy everything you want, which is why, basically, you know, your handful of corporations run the world now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wow. Because effectively they could do that. They were not particularly smart people, but they are pretty criminally minded and crafty people. And that's basically, essentially, what happened to the United States. And people who think that Barack Obama is the problem, Barack Obama is a symptom of a problem. You know, the problem is that when people walk away from Yahweh, turn to religion, turn to government, turn to every other thing you can think of other than what might be real and the only straight game in town, you're going to have nothing but corrupt institutions leading the masses down a broad path, popular path that will lead to their death. And that's essentially what we have now. I mean, we have a situation. You know, I can turn FB on right now, and of course, you and I do a lot of a sharing of Yahweh's words on FB. And I can see people that are so delusional they think Obama is the problem and that replacing him will fix it. And that is not so. Welcome back. I'm Larry, and William is co-hosting today. And we were just discussing, you know, some of the major problems this country faces, or at least symptoms of the problems. And, you know, again, William and I was just saying that, you know, we do a lot of work on FB where we share Yahweh's words. And I have, I think, a little over 2,500 people on my FB page right now. And I can go to my home page and I can see a lot of political statements come floating by. Do you see that a lot, William?
Yeah. Yes, I do. I do.
And I'll see a lot of, boy, once we get rid of Obama, things are going to be rosy. Well, that isn't true.
Right. Obama's just a puppet. You know, I mean, he does what he's told to do. I feel that he was placed there to pacify the people. I think that we were on the, you know, cusp of a revolution.
And, well, you know, if we were on a cusp of a revolution, then what are we now? You know, I'm sitting here and I can see things go by and they'll show Ronald Reagan,
right,
as though he's
right.
A god. But, you know, I have to ask you, and this is the kind of thing we have to ask ourselves, did government grow under Ronald Reagan? The answer is yes, it did. Did deficits grow under Ronald Reagan?
Well, yeah.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
And that being the case, show me the last president that didn't run a deficit. Show me a president that didn't involve himself in creating regulations which were costly and expensive for anybody doing business out here in the private sector. In my lifetime, you can't.
Yeah, I don't think you can, right. I don't think you can.
You know, when you have programs that are designed to enrich a few,
mm-hmm.
and take from the productive segment of society, then you are really running a self-defeating system, aren't you? Because you're punishing productivity.
Correct.
And that's the thing we've seen go on for decades now. Decades. And and you know,
worse.
It's not
it
just
because they're indoctrinating these kids in college to think this way. I mean, I had a discussion with a young man about this, a couple of years ago, and he looked right at me and he said, "You are supposed to help me. It's your duty to help me. You have to help me." And this was when the whole thing came out about being on your parents' medical plan until you're 26 years old under Obamacare. And, you know, and he was serious. He says, you have to help me because you've succeeded in life. And I'm just a blue collar guy, you know, but, middle class guy. And I said, no, that's not true. You need to work. You need to work at it. You need to work to be successful in life. You don't accept hand-me-downs. That's not. You know, that's not a good thing. He says, no, it's your responsibility to help me. I mean, I barely knew the kid.
But yet his thinking was that of the group mentality where you're part of the collective, so you owe it to him.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that terrible?
Well, yeah, but then, you know, that goes, then we get into the public school system. That is now an arm of the federal government, I guess. It used to be part of the state government. Before that, it was local. And it isn't just the federal government that's the problem. You have state governments that are also a problem.
Right.
You know, I mean, when they spend more than they take in, look at California. There would be a lovely example of what not to do.
Yeah.
You know, there's city governments, Detroit, Stockton, California, Atlanta, Georgia, all with the same problem. You know, you have people with a tax and spend mentality and a regulation mentality, by the way. You know, you can kill an economy just as quickly with overregulation as you can with taxation. And when you combine the two, it's lethal.
Right.
And we're seeing more and more of that. We're going to see more and more unemployed. You know, why? Well, you know, you just mentioned it.
Right.
The Obama plan. That's the final nail in the economic coffin of the American economy.
Right. And that's the thing, like sending aid to these foreign countries. I mean, we're not in a position to do that. In fact, I found a statement. Tell me what you think about this, Larry. The Obama administration promises over and over again they are only sending arms to secular, freedom-loving Syrian rebels, not those Islamic jihadists associated with terrorist groups like al-Qaeda. What does that mean? Aren't they one and the same?
Well, I don't believe that the opposition, first of all, if there was any secular government to be spoken of, that would be the actual government that currently exists in Syria, right?
Right. Okay.
But they're arming the opposition to that, correct? Those would be Sunni Muslims, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
That are over there fighting a jihad, aren't they?
Right.
So none of that made any sense to me. That just sounds like a total lie.
Right.
Of course, I'm not falling out of my chair over here. I expect a congenital liar to tell a lie, okay? I really expect that. So no, not a word of that was true. Couldn't be.
Right, and that's just the thing. I mean, you know, Yada says it best, the only way that we're ever going to win this war is to educate the masses on you know what Islam is about, and these so-called peace-loving Muslims who reside here in the States who don't understand that you know there are Muslims who will execute them when the time comes because you know they're quote-unquote peace-loving Muslims.
Well, as you know, my wife's Iranian. She's not a Muslim, but being born in Iran makes her a Muslim.
Okay.
Yet she prescribes to none of it.
Right, but until the and
her family prescribes to none of it, so they would be what you would call bad Muslims.
Right, and it's no different than you know, I was raised Catholic, right, when I was a little boy or whatever, but I didn't know any better. I was just doing what my parents did and what their parents did, and so until I started doing my research and looking into religion as a whole, you know, I didn't realize that I was actually participating in, you know, wickedness is what it is. It's evil. And I know there's probably a lot of people falling out of their seats right now, but that's the truth about it.
Yeah, well, yeah, you were participating in actual satanic behavior. I mean, that's what you were doing. And,
right.
You know.
And so, yeah, and so my point is, it was because I educated myself. I did my due diligence and I learned the truth about it. And that's really what I appreciate about what Yada shares is simply, look, you know, read Prophet of Doom. Go to prophetofdoom.net. Read this book. Educate yourself about it, because that's the only way that we'll ever defeat Islam.
If you ever want to defeat any religion, what you got to do is expose it.
Right. Right.
You know, all religion is man-made. It's all farcical. Yahweh is not a religious deity. He detests religion, says he hates it on every level, calls it a despicable abomination. Those aren't exactly words you would use to describe something
to get behind. Right.
You know, so as I said here, yeah, sure. You know, now, again, I'm going to go back to this. I know many, many, many Iranians and Americans. All of them I know, on a personal level, actually despise Islam. Openly. Openly hate it.
Really? Wow.
Oh, yeah. Every one of them I know. I know several hundred.
Okay.
Now, the truth is, what Islam has got most of them to is just basically, I don't want to be attached to anything religious at all.
Right.
And if you try to share Yahweh's words with them, it's falling on deaf ears, because the reason it's falling on deaf ears is because they can't detach Yahweh, who hates religion, from religion. Because isn't that really what the clerics did? And I don't care what the religion is. They're all trying to claim the creator of the universe is behind whatever garbage it is that they're pushing.
Right.
And if you want to expose Islam, you have to expose, you know, the Quran and the Hadiths for what they are. You know, Muhammad was a slave trader. And when you actually do what Yada's done in Prophet of Doom, and you line up, and this took 5 years of one of the best researchers I've ever known in my life, which is Yada,
mm-hmm.
took 5 years of his life to compile and put in order.
Chronologically, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly what the Quran is. What you find out is that it's the story of a 28-year rampage. The 28-year career of a slave-trading pedophile. That's what
right.
you got.
A murderer and a thief and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yet, I'm not going to give the Christians a break on this either.
No.
See, your average Muslim, this is the truth now. Your average Muslim, and I've been all over the Mideast, feels the same way about their religion as the average Christian does about his. Now I want to clarify something I just said here.
Okay.
You take these Iranians, take my wife's family.
Okay.
You'll never meet a better family. Period. I never have. And I've been everywhere. Now, are there good people who happen to be bad Muslims? Well, yeah.
All right.
But I'll tell you what they don't do. They don't, these bad Muslims, like like I'm talking about over there.
Mm-hmm.
They're Muslim because they were born in the country of Iran, and so you have to name a religion, and their religion of their forefathers was Muslim. Truth is, before that, it was Zoroastrians, but the Muslims came in there, and they killed all the Zoroastrians, most of them.
Okay.
All right, but you take people like Yalda's family, and what do? They spend a lot of their time giving to other people. That's what they do. You would be absolutely amazed at how much they give to other people. Worried about people that can't eat, that are starving. Yalda gave the first wedding ring that I gave her to a woman so she could go get some food.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, no, Yalda, your wife's an amazing woman.
Yeah, but her whole family's like that.
Right.
And they were like that before they met me and heard Yahweh's truth. And so there's a whole bunch of these good people that happen to be bad Muslims. But I'll tell you what the bad Muslims don't do. They don't get arms from the U.S. and go fight jihad in another country.
Okay.
And that's who it is that the Obama administration's arming. So these are not bad Muslims. These are good Muslims. And good Muslims cannot be good people.
Exactly.
The Quran makes it that way.
Nice.
You know, if you are a bad Muslim, Allah hates you. In fact, he wants you in the hottest fires of hell, according to the Quran.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's the mentality of the average individual. I mean, they look at, you know, they think that, you know, individuals like Osama bin Laden, he's an extremist. He's actually not an extremist. He's a fundamentalist. And this is what I'm saying. I mean, it's imperative that we exercise common sense, and we try to grow in our understanding. And until we research, we'll never know. I mean, most people are just simply oblivious. They really don't care about what's transpiring around them, what's transpiring outside of the United States. And you know, it's sad because knowledge is power.
Well, knowledge is in the end, and understanding is what's going to separate those that are going to live from those that are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the concept of being politically correct and compromising principles is what's got us to the position that we're in today. Yeah, it's what's got us into the position of trillions of dollars of debt. And a government that wants to fund a military, run around apparently taking from others what doesn't belong to them, while enriching a few and then having the U.S. taxpayer pay for it all. You know, there's the Hadiths are actually stronger than the Quran. You know that, right? When there's a debate on anything in the Quran, they go to the Hadiths. These were the words and deeds of Muhammad. Now I'm going to read this. This is from Bukhari. And Bukhari, you know, you're going back to the oldest stuff that there is. When we return, I'm going to read just a few from Bukhari of what the Prophet says a good Muslim should be doing.